As we continue in worship, we have the opportunity to hear the scriptures read and proclaimed here on this second Sunday of Advent, the Sunday typically known as the Candle of Peace. In the series I'm currently doing, The Weary World Rejoices, there's different promises that we'll be looking at each week. So promise of truth was last week. This week is the promise of compassion. We also have the promise of restoration and the promise of justice. So those will be the four Sundays of Advent as we light our candles of hope, peace, joy, and love. And then on Christmas Eve, we'll light the Christ candle. This morning, we're going to be reading from the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter, verses 68 through 79. Before I read, let us pray. God, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for community that we join together and we bring all of our experiences and all the ways in which you've been at work in our life to a community of faith as we walk together on this journey. God, sometimes it's a joyful journey, sometimes it's a challenging journey, but we're so grateful that we're not alone. God, I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me this day that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So the scripture says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors, and he has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Compassion in Latin means to suffer with. Compassion and empathy can be thought of as existing on a spectrum along with sympathy. So compassion, empathy, and sympathy. Sympathy focus on thoughts. Sometimes we hear people say, whenever someone posts something, they say, my thoughts and prayers are with you, providing sympathy to those who have experienced the challenge. Empathy adds feelings to that. It says, I feel what you're going through. I've maybe felt it before, kind of relating feelings with the other person. And it moves from thoughts to feelings. Compassion encompasses thoughts, feelings, but not only that, but also action. We have the opportunity to show compassion to one another in so many different ways, and we'll look at some of those ways throughout our time together today. This means that we enter into the world with the hurting and with the struggling and with the sick and with the cold and with the hungry and with the oppressed. We're present with them. In love, support, but not only that, action as well. On Thursday and Friday, I was thoughtfully and prayerfully selected to go on an overnight retreat with a bunch of fifth graders to Highland Retreat Center outside Spicewood. I was there in the cold weather and sleeping in uncomfortable beds. In a cabin with 45 fifth grade rambunctious boys. It was an exhausting 36 hours of chaperoning as I suffered with teachers and other adults to care for these students. Yesterday was another fun day of two soccer games in the midst of sub-50-degree, rainy, cold weather. And we suffered together through two very tough games. Suffering with others. After the earlier questioning of God, we see in Luke 1 of the pregnancy of Elizabeth and her old age and disbelief, we see an angel render Zechariah as mute. Later, after the child is born and named John, Zechariah's mouth is freed and he's able to speak again, and that's what brings us to today's scripture. Also called the Benedictus, in which priest Zechariah, through this two-part hymn, speaks of prophecy and praise and blessing. It clearly moves us to the unfathomable moment of peace. In the first part of the hymn, we see Zechariah speak of terms of prophecy, and he uses these terms like from of old and holy covenant and to our ancestors, moving the people from this old era to a new era, using the history, the experiences of ancestors. In the second part, Zechariah sings in praise and blessing of God's faithfulness, not only through the gift of his child in old age, but that this child will prepare the way of God's for God's people to be saved through the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Zechariah's song, like Advent, celebrates the new era of the incarnation in our midst. Baby John is that bridge between the law and the fulfillment, proclaiming the Messiah's presence, the one who ultimately shows us the example of compassion and love for the world. In the scriptures, we see how both Mary and Elizabeth were fully present in the moments and the months that they were expecting and delivering and raising Jesus and John. They didn't run from their moment to show compassion, but said, "Yes, Lord," and lived into the promise, even though they couldn't understand it. And it was just so much bigger than they ever dreamed. Henry Nouwen says, their waiting was active. Unlike so much of our waiting, which is merely wishful, passive, and full of doubt, many times we zone out, we go about our day-to-day of waiting, maybe not even believing that good news could come forth. But Mary and Elizabeth lived into the situation in full belief that something hidden and unexpected would manifest itself in them. You see, when we follow God into tough situations, we find peace knowing that as we suffer with others, God works within us to do something new, that we might not just get through the experience, but that we might grow from that experience. For Nouwen, Henry Nouwen, active waiting means to be fully present to the moment in the conviction that something is happening where you are, and that you want to be present for it. Active waiting. You know, God often comes to us as we're just going about our day. Day-to-day life. God comes and stirs something up. We have this thought. We start dreaming. We start thinking of something new. And then we patiently continue to wait, opening ourselves up to the power of the Holy Spirit that's at work in us today to convict us and transform us through people and places in which our eyes and our hearts must be attuned to see and feel. That's a lot. People and places, eyes and hearts, see and feel. What an opportunity we have during these 4 weeks of Advent to sit and wait, to wonder about what God has done and is still doing today. Instead of jumping to the manger right off the bat, we can dream and listen and wonder about the promises that are still to come. Promises that might look unlike anything that we were expecting or planned. Jesus, the ultimate example of love and peace and hope, when he saw someone suffering, he didn't look the other way. He didn't ignore them. Instead, we see at the passing of Lazarus how he wept with them. He came to their aid. He talked with the excluded and the marginalized and ate with outcasts. There was no one who was beyond, whose illness or status rendered them unapproachable or untouchable to Jesus. Over and over again, we see this through the scriptures. The way that Jesus felt compassion on people, healing them and comforting them. And this is the kind of radical compassion that Jesus showed that said, I'm not just here to give you a handout or to help you, but I'm here to walk with you for as long as you need walking with. There's a nurse and writer, Christy Watson. She's described as the kindest nurse in all of Britain. She served people others would rather not acknowledge, let alone care for. Someone asked her, how does she do it? And she said, we don't have time to judge them, the kindest nurse described, because if we're busy judging them, we don't have time to love them. Another person, Father Greg Boyle, who runs Homeboy Industries, it's a really cool ministry in Los Angeles. He says a certain kind of compassion that stands in awe of what the poor have to carry instead of judgment of how they carry it. For the measure of compassion lies not in our service to those on the margins, but our willingness to see ourselves in kinship with them, in mutuality. That's compassion. Now, these are a couple of folks who are mentioned today, and I can't be Nurse Christy, and I can't be Father Greg Boyle, but what does compassion look like? Another story is when a 9-year-old Marley Pack had to undergo chemotherapy after she was diagnosed with a rare form of soft tissue cancer. So she went through chemotherapy, and after she got through chemotherapy, it was time for her to go back to school. And she was worried that she would be the only one with a shaved head. I didn't have to worry about that when I went through chemotherapy. But to show that she was not alone for this, her friend Cameron McLaughlin shaved her head too in mutuality, in solidarity. And following that act of kindness, 80 students and some teachers at the elementary school also shaved their heads in an event called Be Bold, Be Brave, Go Bald. And they raised $25,000, this elementary school, for cancer research. And they developed an organization called St. Baldrick's Foundation. Elementary students showing compassion for others. Four other examples and ways that we show compassion for you to think about are ways like offering to help someone in need. Maybe aiding someone with a task. Maybe carrying someone's groceries to their car. Maybe it's involving performing chores for a friend who's experiencing a challenge. Another way is volunteering for a cause. Maybe something that tugs on your heart. helping to provide resources and volunteer hours to help assist the organization. Maybe it's listening and being patient with others. So it's not just sending a note of sympathy. It's not just saying, I feel you, but about listening and being patient, showing compassion. Then there's also forgiving. In the scriptures, we see that it says to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiving of their sins. Forgiving others is a way to show compassion to people, to forgive those who've wronged you. While empathy might allow you to understand, extending forgiveness is a way to show compassion. During Advent, we see a time where we have to wonder and wait to allow God to do something new. We're reminded of the promises that were made of old that are still being lived out today, even if we only catch a glimpse of it. We see ways of compassion being lived out. Zechariah's hymn today makes clear that true peace in our hearts and in our world will only come when we're right with God and we've laid aside our own ambitions and passions in a world that also oftentimes pushes self-preservation, self-pride. May we turn our lives over to God, and may we be attuned to the ways in which God desires so strongly to work in our lives like he did in the lives of Zechariah and Elizabeth and Mary and Joseph, especially during this time of Advent and Christmas. Let us pray. God, we love you and we thank you for this time together. God, we ask that as we go about our daily lives, that you would somehow break in, that you would show us all that you desire for us, to be so much more than what the world tells us that we can do and be, but that we can do mighty things in and through you, who walks with us, who has shown great compassion to us, that we might show that same compassion to others. Lord, we thank you for your love that you have for us. Even when we can sometimes deny it or turn away, Lord, your love remains steadfast. We're grateful for that this day. We pray all this in Christ's holy name. Amen.